You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The healthcare system we enjoy in Canada is known in the United States as single-payer healthcare. When Barack Obama was a candidate for the Senate in 2003, he told the AFL-CIO he was a proponent of single-payer healthcare. When he was a candidate for president in 2008, he told a town hall meeting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that if he were designing a system from scratch, he would probably go ahead with single-payer system. In May, he told a town hall meeting in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, that the only problem was he wasn't starting from scratch. Colleen Fuller is an author and health policy researcher. She's been following the debate about healthcare reform in the U.S. She believes it has great significance for the future of healthcare in Canada, too. Colleen Fuller joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Colleen.
Hi.
Has President Obama given up on any attempt to bring in a single-payer system?
Well, yeah, I think clearly he has given up. And I don't know what all the reasons are. I mean, this morning I was looking at a video he did urging Americans to come out, you know, to these house party meetings that they've been having for the last year or so, to register their strong support for healthcare reform. And that's the term he's using, is healthcare reform. But I think that there is a big gap between what the expectations are amongst Americans, and I think that it's clear from polling that there's huge support now for a single-payer system. I think it's something like 70%, 72% in some of the recent polls. But the whole issue now is being bogged down in Congress, and all this money that's swirling around Washington, D.C., especially by people who are opposed to not just single payer, but what Obama, his position of, you know, of retreat was, instead of pushing for single payer, he was saying we need a public option. And even now it appears that that public option, which means that there would be that people who couldn't afford private insurance would be able to get public health insurance, even that option now seems to be in danger of falling off the table. So he's really swimming backwards on this one at the moment, unfortunately.
So going from a single payer universal system to saying, oh, we're just filling in the gaps here with the people who don't have health care right now.
Like a month ago, there were basically three positions. One was in favor of single payer. One was totally against any public involvement in healthcare at all. And the third one was were people who were saying we have to go slowly here. We have to take incremental steps to a universal healthcare system. And that position, the middle position, was supported. Was being pushed by a lot of different groups, including Obama, but that group has been assaulted by the insurance industry, the drug industry, the healthcare industry. So they've even retreated from that middling position, saying that sort of a step towards universal healthcare, we'll have this option. Now what they're saying is that people who don't have insurance coverage there will be a law that says that they must buy private health insurance. Now this is not a just solution for people who can't afford the premium, but that's apparently one of the things that's being discussed.
To talk about how this shift came about, what kinds of pressures were the lobbyists from these industries, the current medical industry and healthcare industries in the States, what kind of pressure were they bringing?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at what's going on, it just knocks the breath out of you, really. I mean, you think about Canadians should be looking at this, because this is something that is happening here as well. Maybe not the same kind of money or the same thousands of people who are lobbyists in Washington, D.C. That's not exactly happening here, but we're moving in the same direction. So what we've had is the American Medical Association has spent $3.8 million. The drug industry, you know, just a few of the companies, Pfizer, just on this debate, $5.6 million. Eli Lilly, $3.6 million. GlaxoSmithKline, $2.3 million. Blue Cross, which are the nonprofit insurers, $2.8 million. MetLife, $1.7 million. The insurance industry, under the umbrella of the American Health Insurance Plans, is the lobby group, has spent almost $5 million just in, I think it's the last 6 or 7 or 8 months, on this debate. So this is like millions. Plus, there are more lobbyists on this single issue than there are members of Congress. So these people are, the guy that Max Baucus, who is the so-called point man on healthcare reform in the United States, has got $1,500 every single day for the last 5 years from the insurance industry. That guy is just simply not going to be advocating a system that will put the health insurance industry out of business. Now these are, and what is relevant for Canadians is that a lot of those insurance companies are Canadian companies. These are companies that are doing business in Canada, who have been sliced out of for all intents and purposes, have been sliced out of the health insurance market in Canada, and they're lobbying like crazy in the United States against a Canadian-style health care system in the U.S.
Is anyone now advocating for a single-payer system?
Oh, yeah.
Public single-payer system?
There are huge groups. Well, the majority of physicians, for example, who the American Medical Association doesn't appear to be representing the mainstream view of physicians in the United States. So there are, I think it's about 60% of physicians who've been polled are supporting a single-payer type of system. The majority of Americans, the AFL-CIO has, from my point of view, been sitting on the sidelines in this debate, and I think one of the reasons why the single-payer option is not front and center in Congress right now is because powerful groups like the AFL-CIO, Families USA, a lot of these different groups, American Association of Retired Persons, they're not supporting a single-payer system either. They're supporting a public option. They're supporting the incremental move towards a universal health care system. So those groups have been, unfortunately, not playing a very positive role in the debate. But there are very, very powerful groups also who want a single-payer system. They're just not getting heard. When they had the congressional committee hearings, the people who were there demanding a voice for single-payer were arrested. Right? So, I mean, this is what's going on. I really think that part of what's going on in the U.S. right now is what we're seeing is that democracy isn't working in the U.S. If there was a democratic system, there would be single payer. Instead, there are five different bills on healthcare reform going through Congress right now. One of them is on single payer.
And when you say that it's because it's a failure of democracy, it's because there's a large majority of Americans who support the single payer system.
That's right, a large majority. In December, I think that Obama has some problems here on that score, because last December there were 4,200 house parties in the United States on health care, right, in 1 month, and Obama's a very powerful speaker. You know, he's really been talking about, you know, healthcare reform, and Americans are getting, you know, on the bandwagon, but they're on the single payer bandwagon. They're not on the incremental steps. They're not on, you know, forcing people to buy private health insurance. So there's a big gap between the rhetoric that we're seeing in Washington, D.C. from the president's office and what actually is happening in Congress and what the expectations of the American people are. You know, people hate the insurance industry. If there is one industry that Americans are united on hating, it is that one, right? The next one's probably the pharmaceutical industry. So there is a huge, huge public opinion. Now, for us, you know, this is really going to have a huge impact on the future of our Medicare system, too. The single-payer people in the United States have, when they say they want a Canadian-style healthcare system, what they're saying is they want a single public payer, but private providers. Now, in Canada, that's the system that we've had, and those providers have been mainly not-for-profit providers. But in the U.S., it's, you know, 85% of the hospital system is for profit. So there are problems even with the single payer option in the United States that we haven't confronted here. But we have huge pressure here to allow more for profit providers, which will bankrupt a single payer system anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter where it is. And we also now have those for profit providers pushing for more private insurance in Canada too. So if the U.S. fails, we're going to see more of that pressure in Canada to have for-profit insurance, for-profit providers, et cetera.
Now, Canadians have been weighing in on the healthcare debate in the United States, and Shona Holmes became the poster girl for privatized healthcare after she appeared in a U.S. ad urging Americans to reject government-run healthcare. What's her story?
Well, she's, you know, the poor woman now, she didn't stick her neck out. I mean, she's not the naive patient that she, you know, appears to be in the ads in the U.S. She said she had a brain tumor that was life-threatening and that therefore she was forced to go to the U.S. because she was on a wait list to get to see, to get this situation addressed properly. Now, it turns out that she didn't have a brain tumor. She had a cyst on a pituitary gland, which isn't great, but she was not, it wasn't life-threatening. She could have had the operation that she needed in a timely manner, but she was freaked out because she was losing her sight and so forth and so on. So she went to the United States and to get the thing operated on. But she also is part of a lawsuit in Ontario that is sort of along the lines of the Choli lawsuit in Quebec, which is allowing private insurance, parallel private insurance in Quebec. That's what she wants in Ontario. She's with a group called the Canadian Constitutional Foundation, which is suing the government in Ontario, which is not itself, but it's funding lawsuits in Ontario, in Alberta, to basically destroy the Medicare system and allow people to buy private insurance instead of this would be what in the United States they're calling a public option, that if people want to do this in Canada, they should be able to do it. But if they want private insurance, they should be able to have private insurance to jump the queue. And that's where she's coming from.
And which came first? Did she get involved with these after her ads in the States or vice versa?
Before. She's been involved in this lawsuit in Ontario since 2007.
Could we see ourselves with a two-tier system that mirrors the one in the U.S.?
Well, I think Canadians, we're really facing some serious challenges to our healthcare system. In BC, we've got Brian Day and his cohorts in the private surgical clinics who are suing the BC government for not allowing people to get private insurance. And if they win that lawsuit, then we will see our Medicare system in BC totally destroyed, which is why people should be speaking up on this, right? Although Brian Day is saying that this would allow people to get access to the best care in private surgical clinics and so on, what it would do is it would enable the private insurance industry to begin selling insurance coverage for things like hip and knee replacement surgery, cataract surgery. A lot of the clinics now are focused on women's health, too, so it would enable women to buy private insurance to jump the queue for certain types of procedures that are, you know, hysterectomies and so forth and so on. So this is a serious, serious challenge. The difference between that system and what we have now is that we have a system that there's no doubt about it, it rations care, and that's a good thing. It rations care on the basis of need. So if you have the highest need, you get attended to first. The alternative is that if you have the most money, you get attended to first, and that's an American system. And that is the system that is being advocated by people like Brian Day, who in fact was on an ad in the United States talking about what a horrible system we have in Canada. So it's a very, very serious, I think we're at a serious place in Canada right now. We're on a North American continent. The insurance industry is totally integrated in North America now. We don't have Canadian insurance companies. We have North American insurance companies. And these companies are operating in Canada in much the same way as they operate in the United States. We see increasing numbers of people in Canada who don't have private insurance for extended benefits. We see rising numbers in the United States who don't have any insurance at all. The only thing that we have as a buffer is the public insurance system in Canada. So So yeah, we are definitely in danger of seeing a growing pressure on governments in Canada, who many of them, including our own Liberal government in BC, are ideologically well disposed to a greater role for the private sector in our healthcare system. And if we don't put the brakes on it, that's exactly what's going to happen.
I have a question, because I know that when people are involved in healthcare crises, it's a very kind of personal and emotional thing. People experience a lot of fear for good reason. And I think the private healthcare system has a lot of tools to kind of leverage that fear that people have and that concern they have around their health. They want the best healthcare as soon as possible. What is the kind of framing that we could have that would, maybe counteract that, for people to see that in the long term, for all of us, the good of having a public health care system that takes care of everyone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that a lot of Canadians who grew up under Medicare in Canada don't know very much about the private insurance system, and they see the horror stories in the United States and they're afraid of that. But I think that we need to strengthen some of the arguments that brought us Medicare in the first place. In the United States, the advocates for single payer have a great slogan: everybody in, nobody out. And that is really one of the things that we have to emphasize more and more and more for our healthcare system: everybody in, nobody out. I think that we also need to not just accept the status quo in Canada, because there are problems with the status quo. If you need physiotherapy in Canada, you are going to have to likely pay for it, or your private insurance coverage is likely going to have to pay for it if it's being offered on an outpatient basis. A lot of outpatient services are not covered under Medicare any longer. And I think that we need not a movement to defend the status quo. We need a movement to start demanding governments to expand Medicare to include some of these things: home care, long-term care, drugs, outpatient rehab services. All of these things need to come back into the public system, or services that were never in the public system need to be placed in the public system. And we really need Canadians to start demanding that, rather than accepting the argument from governments that we just can't afford it. And no, they're right. We, the people, cannot afford to be paying for these services out of our own pockets. And as I was saying earlier, the number of people who have extended benefits. The average person with extended benefits in Canada is a male, mid-40s, high-income earning, well-educated, so forth. The person who doesn't have private benefits, female, young, likely working in the retail sector or service sector, which is where a lot of people do work. So we need to start, and we need to put pressure on our unions, if we're in unions, to get off that bargaining table and start getting on the street and demanding benefits for everybody, not just for their own members.
And I think that's an excellent answer. And how then can people really plug into that? How can individuals who care about healthcare start to amplify their voices on this issue?
Well, the BC Health Coalition is the voice for the people on healthcare. And I think that if people want to be represented, or they want to be involved in that, they have to start going to the BC Health Coalition. They can do it through their organizations, or they can do it as individuals. And that really is the most powerful voice on healthcare. It's been around since 1979. And it has really, I think, has to be given credit for putting the brakes on the kind of privatization train that's been going on in BC. And there's a health coalition in every province, but in our province is the BC Health Coalition.
Well, thanks so much for joining me this morning, Colleen.
You're welcome.
It's been really interesting.
Great, thanks.
I've been speaking with Colleen Fuller. She's a health policy researcher and author. Her most recent book, written in conjunction with Barbara Mintz and others, is titled The Push to Prescribe: Women and the Canadian Drug Policy. It'll be released in the fall of this year.